His contributions and impact in gospel music have already been felt around the world at such a young age. Joseph Habedank is now solo with the project Welcome Home, His Music and Story.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
As we continue our discussion with Joseph Habedank from last time, where we had to place a bookmark and kind of break it up, we've got more great music and conversation with this artist, and he is a singer-songwriter. Let's jump right back into the conversation now with Joseph Habedank. Joseph Habedank, welcome home. And I see here Russ Taff was with you on a song, song titled Empty.
Yeah, you know, Russ has been such a wonderful friend and mentor in the last year and a half of my life. And when I went into the studio, I kind of sat down with the record company and said, okay, how many special guests do we have? And they said, well, I think it is possible to have too many special guests. I think sometimes it takes the focus off the song, or maybe it takes the focus off of the artist that's recording the album. And so it's important for you to find someone that you really want to be on there. And I've actually had two people, and only one of them made the album, and that was Russ. But I called Russ up, and of course he was so gracious. And it was between two songs on the album that he would sing. And I just felt like this song really lent itself to Russ's style, especially back in the 80s. Man, if you go back to the 80s, Russ Taff was a glorified, and I say this with the utmost respect and Baptist in me, is to say he was a glorified rock star in the 80s. I mean, he really was. And I mean that, yeah. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, he was it. And a lot of people don't know, but when he left the Imperials, some of the music he made while he was with Word, was just him and Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith. I went back and revisited that stuff last fall when Russ and I started getting kind of close. And man, he could sing, and still can. And a lot of people don't know this, but Russ is 60 years old, and he sings. He keeps up with this 28-year-old, no problem.
In fact,
he probably sings me under the rug on this song. But he's just an amazing artist. And more importantly than that, he's been an amazing friend. And he has really reached out to me and just become a mentor. And so grateful for Russ. And if you're not familiar with Russ Taff, I would encourage everyone to be familiar with Russ Taff. He's one of the greatest men that I've ever known.
He's a cheerleader that's always on. I mean, he never takes an off day, I don't think, from being an encourager.
He really is. And I've never heard him say one negative thing to me. Two people in the world that I think of as cheerleaders, and one would be Russ Taff, of course, and the other would be Jason Crabb. I mean, those two guys, you watch them while other people are singing, and they just, man, they just root them on. I mean, they just sit there and they want you to win, and it's so genuine with them. I mean, they're not putting on a show. I mean, they're just so genuine, and they want you to win, and I love that about those guys.
I've heard him tell me I'm never gonna be anything but a wannabe. The sound of the enemy tries to remind me of everything, all I'll never be. I've heard him say there's just no way I'm ever gonna get back up again. And this battle that I'm in, he's telling me I'll never win. But his threats are as hollow as my heart used to be, and his claims are as useless as the chains in my feet. Me, all I'm gonna be is everything that I wanna be. A new life, a new start. I got a brand new heart. There's a brand new man inside of me. So when he comes again,
Staring back at me, but do they believe that it's more than just a show? Well, deep in my heart, I know how expectations grow when you claim the king to be your everything. But when the lights go down, when there's no song, no sound, where can my heart be found? What kind of man am I gonna be when the stage is bare and there's no I've held inside. No one else can see. I feel so unworthy when all the music fades into a yesterday. There's still a I know how this seems, but when the lights go down, when there's no song, no sound, where can my heart be found? What kind of man am I gonna be? Stage is bare and there's no
they all think I leave. And will I be like who I seem about when the lights go down? I wanna be like who I sing about when the lights go down.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Joseph Habedank, listening to great music from Welcome Home. All right, if you were to stand up right now and go to a studio to record one song for the world to be able to get next week as the Starbucks iTunes free download all around the world, this would be the song on display in all the coffee shops, okay? And it's one song for the world to hear absolutely free of charge to them. What would that song either be about? It doesn't have to be on your project, or maybe it is. Maybe it's one you just recorded.
Well, there's two songs that come to mind, and one is called Big Enough. And we had talked, I know we've alluded to the same songs, but yeah, there are songs that stick out to me.
Yeah.
And my favorite line in that song is the opening line that says, "I've got a heart that's full of faith-filled helplessness." Man, you think about that. I've got a heart that's full of faith-filled helplessness.
Yeah.
I love what that says. And the chorus basically says, when it seems it can't be done, I know God is big enough. No matter what people are saying, you can't do this. You cannot do this. There's no way you can beat this. There's no way God is going to bring you out of this. I know God is big enough, and I can run the race I'm called to run, meaning it doesn't matter what sort of path that the Lord has put before us. We can run the race because we have Jesus, and he is more than able, more than capable to help us through. And that song really comes to mind. I know God is big enough. I know he is. And that I think everyone can relate to that song.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
we all have mountains in our way that we feel like there is no way this mountain can move. There is no way. Oh, but wait. God's big enough. He is bigger than the mountain. He is bigger than the valley. He's bigger than the tribulation. He's bigger than the trial. He's bigger than the divorce. He's bigger than the financial issues. He's bigger than your wayward son. He's bigger than your drug addiction. He's bigger than your alcoholism. He's bigger than your adultery. All of this stuff that seems so awful and so terrifying at the time. God's bigger. He gets it. And he knows how to bring us through. It's nothing for him. And things that we make so hard, it's just easy for him because he's God and we're not. And that's cool.
So when it seems it can't be done, I know God is big enough. I can run the race I'm called to run, cause I know God is big enough. He'll finish everything he starts. He'll meet us right here where we are. I can feel faith rising up.
Like the Daniel Britt and Friends page on Facebook, tweet at Britt and Friends on Twitter, or simply visit the full site at danielbritt.com.
Off in the distance, just up ahead, there's a valley waiting for me.
I cannot face it, can't take one more step. I'm frightened by what I can't see. Silence consumes what is left of my day. But then he appears and I hear him say, I'll take it, the trial you fear, and I'll make a way from right here. You are still one of my own, so I just can't leave you alone. It's time to let go of what you hold to and surrender to what I can do. When your burden says you cannot make it, I'll take it. You've waited and wondered why you are here with heartache too much to contain. You're not alone, and now it is clear that Jesus is there through the pain. The giver of peace in the storm where you are whispers those words that break through the dark. I'll take it, the trial you fear, and I'll make a way from right here. You are still one of my own, so I just can't leave you alone. It's time to let go of what you hold to and surrender to what I can do. When your burden says you cannot make it, I'll take it.
When the rain's pouring down and there's nowhere to hide, Jesus is crying with all.
Habedanks with us here on Daniel Britt and Friends. So how do you deal with friends or a spouse or anybody in your life who's always late? You have to sort of almost adjust the time you tell them to be somewhere because you know they're consistently tardy.
That would be my mother, who I don't see as much as I used to. Of course, she lives in Kentucky.
Yeah,
and about 2 or 3 hours away, and Lindsay and I are in Nashville, and so, but every now and then, Mom will go with me on a weekend that Lindsay can't go, and for instance, a couple weekends ago, my mom came on the road. My cousin Skylar flew in from Baltimore, and she wanted to travel with me, and I brought my mom along with me, and they wanted to come for a weekend, and we were in Kentucky, and I knew she was going to be late to everything. I think the biggest thing for me is I'm very much organized, OCD.
Yeah.
I like to be on time. I want order. I want everything to go on. It's kind of a perfectionist mentality. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest thing for me is to, in that moment, is just be patient and just to say, okay, Mom is probably, if I say we're going to leave at 6, she's probably not going to be ready till 6:15. Mm-hmm. That's okay. You know, she's my mom. I love her. And the pastor at the church can wait, or, you know, whatever it is. So the biggest thing for me, and it's not easy, is being patient with those people, because I am so the polar opposite. Yeah. And even though I think I did call you a little later than I was supposed to, Daniel. But besides that,
yes.
I'm usually very much on the on the money, and I try to be, but yeah, just learning patience. And that's one of the biggest lessons God's been teaching me lately, along with humility, is to be patient. And those are the two of the hardest things in the world to learn, is humility and patience. But I think it's been long enough to where I have not used those two things, that it's time to learn them. So I've really been working on that, and God's been working on it with me.
Come and clean all the secrets he has kept from her so long. I finally know her big mistake, that one regret that haunts her to this day. It just won't fade. So many different stories we thought could not be redeemed, but it's against our darkest failures we start to see the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. What a thought, just a single drop forever wipes away our every stain, and with its power every chain that held us now lies at our feet, and we stand free. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars.
It's Daniel Britt and Friends featuring the story of Joseph Habedank. A lot of music here from his latest project, Welcome Home. But right now, hearing some songs where Joseph is featured and was featured with the Perrys as lead vocalist. Here on Daniel Britt and Friends, the conversation continues in just a few moments.
She thought he was a gardener when she met him on the road. She had gone to see the tomb where Jesus lay. But when she heard the stranger speak, "Mary, I'm the one you seek," she ran to the disciples, and through her tears they heard her say, "When he spoke to me, I knew it was the
Savior. When he spoke to me, he called me by my name.
Joseph Habedanks with us here on Daniel Britt and Friends. So as an artist, I always feel like this is like there's the sticky balance here between being managed for public relations purposes, being marketed. I mean, in a large degree, you know, your name, your image, your likeness, it's on the product. And you got to have a good press release and you got to have the awards that kind of go with your name and that gets people's attention. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But at the same time, when you're sharing the gospel and you're talking about struggles, it can feel like, well, gosh, we don't want to put this in the press release. I mean, you start, you know, you get the dirt under the fingernails and it doesn't make for the most glamorous picture. But yet the gospel has the opportunity to shine there. So I guess that's kind of the answer to the question here, but is what I just said, is that, have you struggled with that as an artist? Like, you know, I want to be real, but not that real. I want to be vulnerable, but you can only go so far here because we do need to sell tapes after all.
Absolutely. In fact, for those of you who don't know my story, I had a very serious problem with prescription pain medicine for years and came off the road with the Perrys to get help. And I did that. And I'm very much okay talking about it now. And that's come with the learning humility part, because it's not easy for me to come out and say, yeah, I've messed up in my life. This is what I did. But in the first days of me coming off the road and getting help, I had someone tell me, you need to tell it. You need to be honest. You need to tell it. Mm-hmm. And I went to Lindsay and I said, I want to tell it, but what do you think? And she said, why don't we wait until we can get you off of all this medicine first? And let's get you sober for a year and a half, and then we'll start telling it. And so as of today, I think I've been off of all prescription pain medicine for 460 days. And so now it's okay for me to say, you know what? This is a hard thing, and addiction is an awful thing. But if somebody asks me, Joseph, did you walk through this? I'm not going to lie to you. I spent so much time. I know we've talked about this a lot today, but I spent so much time trying to be someone I'm not. And now it's important for me to be someone I am and to say, well, you know what? I did. I had a serious problem with prescription pain medicine. I was addicted to it. and I was taking 10 to 12 pain pills a day just to get out of bed. I had to take one. And I love what my brother says. He says, you know, we don't tell our story because we're proud of being addicts and alcohol. My brother's a recovering alcoholic and alcoholics. He says, we tell our story because it's always important to be honest over image, honesty over image. And he said, you know, it's high time that we stop writing off addiction as only a petty sin. It's far deeper than that. Sin can be forgiven, but sobriety has to be earned. And you have to earn that. And it's hard work. It's hard work. I had to go out and I became very, had to go out and go to treatment and 30 days of living at a place that I had no idea. It was just outside of Nashville, but I didn't know anybody there. And here I am thinking I'm this Christian music artist. And here I'm stuck at a place trying to get off drugs. And it's just, it's an awful thing, but it's where God said, you know what, Joe? This seems tough right now. He said, but I can use you. I can use this. And we're not going to use it as a publicity stunt. We're not going to use it to get you on television shows. And that was one of the biggest things. And I know that was the original question, is I didn't want to use it
right
to get attention. I didn't want to use it as an excuse of, well, this is why I came off the road for a while, and so now everybody can forgive me and everything will be fine. To be honest with you, I don't need the forgiveness of others because I have the forgiveness of Christ. And that was what I had to learn. And what people don't realize is it's far more complicated for me to forgive myself than it is for everyone else to forgive me. And I remember somebody, when I went and got help, said, you know what, Joe, your wife and the group that you sang with and the people that you hurt, your family, they will all forgive you before you'll forgive yourself. He said, you've got to work on forgiving yourself. And I came through this and I thought, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to go out and shout it from the housetops because I don't want people to think I'm bragging. When I say, you know, I've been off of all my medication for 460 days, I don't want people to think, oh, yeah, he's just a pup. You know, the truth is, it's a daily thing. And I do feel like the Lord has taken away the desire for me to use medication to feel better about things. And I'm so grateful for that. It's wonderful for me to wake up in the morning to think, you know, I don't have to take a pill to wake up today. I get to wake up on my own and the Lord wakes me up and I get to face a day without the chains of addiction. And I didn't want to be a whiner either. I didn't want to come on and be like, oh, I went through this and it's so hard. And, you know, I didn't want to be that. I wanted to be the kind of guy that says, you know what? I am imperfect. I am a flawed individual, but I serve a flawless and perfect Savior who has brought me through this and is bringing me through this a day at a time. And the biggest thing for people to know about this owl, it was born out of adversity, out of even addiction. And it was born out of the hardest, most fearful and critical days of my life. Wow. And as much medication as I was taking, I should not be here. But the Lord spared my life. And I'm not even going to say that God spared my life because he wanted me to share my story. I don't even know if it's that. I just know that God said, I am going to fix this, but you have to do your part. And that was the biggest thing for me to say. You know what? I got a serious problem here. I can't fix it, but Jesus, you can. And when I finally started getting people asking, hey, would you be willing to share your story? I remember asking Lindsay in the beginning days, okay, we don't tell it right away. Let me get help first. But what do we do when people ask? And Lindsay said, we tell the truth. And that was the biggest thing. When people ask, I tell the truth. I spent so much of my time lying to not only people about the problem that I had, but lying to myself. And it's important for me to now to just tell the truth, as hard as it is and as much humility. It's humbling for me to say that I was addicted to hydrocodone and oxycodone. It's not popular. In fact, addiction, it's very uncomfortable for a lot of people, especially in the church. They don't want to talk about it.
Right.
They don't want to approach it, because when they think of addiction, they think of the guy that's standing on the street corner with a shopping cart.
Yeah.
And he's a veteran that all he wants is a fix, and all he wants is a drink, and that's what they think of. But what we don't realize is we have people in the church that are struggling with this. And I thank God for programs like Celebrate Recovery and Reformers Unanimous and all these wonderful programs of addiction now that are being brought into the church, because people had the intuition to say, you know what, this is becoming a serious problem. And it's so easy with prescription pain medicine because it's legal. It's a legal drug. And now we've got marijuana coming on the scene, which could add even more of that issue into the church. And I do think it is somewhat of an epidemic in the church. And I don't say that lightly. I say that because I just want to let people know, you know, it's not okay that you're an addict, but it's okay that you have problems, because somewhere along the way, the church has forgotten that the church was not made for fixed people. It was made for broken people.
Yeah.
And the church wasn't formed just for saints to come and worship. It was formed for sinners to come and find redemption.
Yeah.
And that's what I've learned about the church and the Lord through all of this. And I'm so grateful for the journey, as hard as that sounds, and as uncomfortable as it may be for people to even listen to, be like, oh man, that's just, it is time that we stand up as Christians and say, you know what, we are imperfect people, but we serve a perfect God, and that's what the blood of Christ is for.
Have you been encouraged that people put their arm around you and give you the forgiveness, though, in some areas where you were nervous that you would be accepted?
Absolutely. You know, when you walk through something like this, the devil has a heyday with stuff like this, because first thing he told me was, you're done. You'll never sing again. You can write all the songs that you want, but nobody's ever going to record your songs again. Nobody's ever going to come hear you sing. Nobody wants to come see a guy that has problems with prescription pain medicine. Nobody wants to see that. And yet I had people like Russ Taff, Gerald Wolfe, Jason Crabb, and Tony Wood, my dad, my family, my wife, of course, who just said, you know what, Joe? We're going to walk with you through this because we believe in you, and we believe that God can do a work in your life. And I love what my wife said when I walked through. She said, for some reason, the devil really doesn't want you to be singing. He doesn't want you to be writing these songs. He's not happy about it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not passing this off on the devil. I did it. I had my I messed up. But when she told me that, it really helped me to think that, okay, we can do this. And the fact that my wife deserves so much credit for sticking by me, and she would come to all the family week at Cumberland Heights, where I got such great help and learned how to stay off of everything and to surround myself with a support system that would encourage me to stay put and to stay on the right path. And it's something that I love, being involved in the recovery community here in Nashville. And I can walk into an AA meeting or NA, which is Narcotics Anonymous meeting, or I can walk into a Celebrate Recovery or whatever it may be and know people and get to hug people. And they don't judge, and they just say, you know what, come on in, and we're going to talk. We're just going to talk about what the Lord's doing, what God's doing in our lives and spiritually, where we're at and what we're struggling with. And you got a guy who walks in and says, hey, my name's Bob, and I'm recovering a drug addict, and man, I really want to go out and use cocaine today. And somebody's able to put their arms around them after a meeting and say, you know what? You know what's awesome about today is you don't have to use cocaine today, because there's a better way. And I love that. I got a wonderful, and it's so funny, you know, because I used to see this on television about sponsors. I got a wonderful sponsor who I can call if I'm having a day where, I'm feeling kind of struggling with recovery, and I call and say, hey, this is what do I do here? How do I handle the situation? How do I do this? And man, I'm just so grateful for the team that God has put around me. And now I have an accountability team where I've never had that before. Just never had it before. And I'm so grateful for it.
Joseph Habedank, the project is Welcome Home. Hey, you're listening to Great Conversation and Music with Joseph right here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
I've seen God's people pray by a hospital bed. I've seen them struggling for their daily bread.
seen him standing at the grave of one who left us too young. And I've heard them crying out for their wayward son. But I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen them with tears in their eyes, seen them with their hearts breaking. I've seen them tested and tried, seen them with their face shaking. But I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen them when it seemed like there was no help in sight. Seen them when it seemed that life was nothing but night. But in the eyes of heaven, something else was going on. They may have been all by themselves, but they were never alone. I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsake. I've seen them with tears in their eyes, seen them with their hearts breaking. I've seen them tested and tried, seen them with their face shaking. But I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken. Never, no, never has he ever failed us. Never, no, never has he ever left us. No, 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 I've never, no, 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 never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen them with tears in their eyes, seen them with their hearts breaking. I've seen them tested, seen them tried, seen them with their face shaking. But I've never, no, never, I've never, no, never, no, I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken.
Joseph Habedank, and the project is Welcome Home. And Joseph, as we talk about this struggle, the question I have may sound like I'm looking for a particular answer, and so I'm going to clarify it. The question is, what do you say? What are maybe the warning signs for someone who is at risk for turning to whatever the addiction may be? So to clarify that is, I'm not asking what are the warning signs for someone who is already addicted, but what do you think the warning signs are, the tipping point, or where someone's getting close to the tipping point of needing help in some way, needing relief in some way, and maybe instead of finding it in a healthy way is going to someplace addictive and harmful?
One of the biggest things is, for me, is I didn't take, you know, hydrocodone or oxycodone to feel, I didn't take it and feel abnormal. I took it and felt normal. That's what's scary. And for anyone who takes any sort of medication to make them feel normal, you probably have some sort of addiction gene. And it's a very, very slippery slope when we start talking about disease, addiction being a disease, because a lot of people in the Christian walk don't want to talk about it being a disease, because they think that's just a way of putting it off and saying, hey, you know, it's just a disease, just like cancer. I can't help it. The truth is, we can help the first time that we ever try these things, whether it be alcohol or prescription medicine or even illicit drug. But once we take this substance and it starts working in our brains, the brain begins to tell us, you cannot live without this. You have to have this because it's what makes you feel normal. And that would be the biggest warning sign. If you take something for the first time and it makes you feel better about everything in your life and it makes you feel normal, oh, I feel great. I remember the first time I ever took something for my throat, it started very instantly. I had an ulcer on the back of my throat. It abscessed into my jaw, into my ear. Worst pain I'd ever been in my life. We went on the road. The people were concerned that I couldn't sing. They gave me something. When it started working in my bloodstream, it was the answer to all of my problems in life. I was no more this insecure kid who didn't really like talking to people, kind of an introvert, somewhat of a loner. I became outgoing. I became friendly. I became talkative. And oh my goodness, this was it for me. And whenever that starts happening in your brain, that's when you have to start saying, okay, this could be a problem. And the biggest thing for me now is if I go to the dentist or if I go to the doctor, and luckily I've not had to for anything, any sort of pain, is to say, hey, I'm in recovery and I'm not able to take any sort of narcotics. In fact, I am allergic is what I was taught. And I believe that I'm allergic to any sort of narcotic. My brain cannot take that. I've got an allergy to it, which means, and I'll just tell them that I'm allergic to hydrocodone. I'm allergic to oxycodone. I can't take it because it makes me do, it's just not good. I just can't take it. And so it's scary to think about in the future, you know, if I were to have surgery or anything, you know, you just have to be careful. And that was one of the biggest questions that I asked when I was in treatment was like, what if, you know, for instance, I've got to get my wisdom teeth pulled out, which I've never have done and probably won't unless it just has to happen. And they said that it's important to say for me is to be upfront and honest with I've got a wonderful nurse practitioner who's my family physician, and her name is Jeannie Swafford. And of course, she knows everything that I've walked through. And it's important for me to, if I go to a new dentist, to say, hey, first of all, no matter what happens today, I can't take any sort of pain medicine because I'm in recovery and I can't have that in my life. I'm allergic to it. But the biggest warning sign is just when it starts clicking in your brain and you start feeling normal instead of abnormal, then we got a problem. You know, then we have to be careful. So that would be the biggest thing. And just to let people know, if you're listening to this and you're struggling or you know someone who's struggling, there is a way through. There is a way through. And his name is Jesus. And he can help you through this. But we have to do our part. It's like, for me, it's like a diet. And I tried to explain it to someone who says, okay, I want to lose 40 pounds. And I'm going to pray and say, hey, God, I believe that you're God, you're sovereign, you're all powerful. And I believe that you can take 40 pounds off of me. I'm going to pray for you to do that. Well, that's all fine and good. And he can do that. However, if you don't go on a diet, you're not going to lose that weight. If you don't change your habits, your eating habits, you're not going to lose that weight. And addiction and recovery is like that. I believe that God can take addiction away from people. And I believe he does that. But we have to do our part to get better. And that was something that I had to learn. That's why I'm still involved in the recovery community. And I hope that I'm never not involved in that, because I love those people. Some of my favorite people in the world are a bunch of recovering drug addicts and alcoholics who I could sit in a room with and just talk about the freedom that we have in life, and to be able to look at where we were and what we've come from. And to be honest, there's a million people in this world who have been through so much worse than I have with drugs like cocaine and drugs like methamphetamine and drugs like heroin and all of those awful things, and they have had an even darker battle to face. And people who are alcoholics who have to walk by alcohol probably every day of their lives and have to say no to that. And luckily, I don't have to do that. Because the prescription drugs are so difficult to get. Sure. I don't know how alcoholics do it. And I've got such respect for people like my brother and people that have walked through that and have gotten better. But there are so many warning signs, but that would be the biggest thing is when it starts making you feel normal rather than abnormal, be careful.
It's Daniel Britt and Friends featuring the story of Joseph Habedank. A lot of music here from his latest project, Welcome Home, but right now hearing some songs where Joseph was featured with the Perrys as lead vocalist. Here on Daniel Britt and Friends, the conversation continues in just a few moments.
She ran away at 17 from what no child should have to call a home. Living life out on the streets, it taught her to be angry and so all alone. But one day off in the distance, she could hear the screams.
strangest words, and she ran toward the sound of what her broken heart had heard.
Whosoever will, let him come to me. I will grant you grace. I will give you peace. Lay your burden down, no matter where you've been. I will love you still, till every wound is healed.
Whosoever will. He lived a life of luxury. He lived a life of selfishness and greed. But 80 years had come and gone, and life had left him with a much greater need. Oh, how do you start over after all this time has passed? Then from somewhere in his childhood, these words came rolling.
The change that comes from heaven when you're touched by the hand. the one who can heal you and save your soul, the one with the power, the one in control. If there's something you need, just call on his name, cause Jesus loves beggars, begging for change. Oh, I was begging for change, but not the kind you can spare. The change that comes from heaven when you're touched by the hand of the one who can heal you and save your soul. The one with the power, the one in control. If there's something you need, just call on his name. Cause Jesus loves beggars, begging for change. My, 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 Jesus loves beggars.
Habedank, welcome home. Boy, this is such good music from the solo project, which is josephhabedank.com, where you can get that. Welcome home. And then, you know, 10 years, 10 songs. I see that's available also as well on your website. And of course, great music from 10 years of being in gospel music. And a lot of those years with the Perrys and some incredible music, not only that you sang with, performed on, but songs you wrote as well. So all this at Joseph Habedank. That's a funny name. You want to spell it for us?
Habedank. Is that what you asked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. JosephHabedank.com.
Yeah, JosephHabedank.com. Or you can visit Facebook.com/JosephHabedankMusic. There's Twitter, which is at Joseph Habedank. And then you've got so many different great avenues of things that ways to keep in touch with us. And the Dominion Agency is a wonderful booking agent, and they represent me. And of course, Day One Records has just been an amazing relationship there. So a lot of ways you can keep in touch with us. And as for that spelling, it can be tricky. So it's kind of like Habedank. It just switched the B and the D. Habedank.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You know what? This is fun because as we're giving all the contact information, Twitter, Facebook, and I can hear your cell phone just going crazy. So it's like real time, man. People are getting in touch with you at josephhabedank.com. And listen, the music's great. Thank you for spending some time with us today, Joseph, and your story's super. And we're praying for you and love you and appreciate all you have done and will be doing sharing the gospel.
Thank you so much for having me, Daniel, and to God be the glory. And thank you for talking about this album that I'm so passionate about. And you can pick up Welcome Home on iTunes or on daywindrecords.com or at a Joseph Habedank concert near you. So come see us. Daniel, thank you again. Love you all there at Daniel Britton Friends. And I'm so grateful for you all and what you do for gospel music.
You've been listening to Daniel Britton Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britton Friends.